What's up, sunshine? Happy Friday. Welcome to CNN 10, the best 10 minutes of news because of you. I'm your host, Coy Wire, and my team and I hope this week has been awesome for those of you who are back for the first week of school. Welcome to our brand new wall of friends. We are so grateful that so many of you are showing love to the show by sending some fantastic art and sharing your school spirit with us. Go Jets! And by sending some seriously cool swag, we will be doing some of our shows from our ever-evolving wall of friends and can't wait to make you shine. All right, your 10 minutes of news starts now. We begin in Flint, Michigan, where the Environmental Protection Agency says the water is now finally safe after more than a decade since the city's historic water crisis began. For their part, though, residents disagree, saying they're still dealing with contaminated water and long-term health issues. Imagine not being able to drink the water from your faucet or take a shower in your own home without being at a health risk. Back in 2014, residents noticed changes in their water's color, smell, and taste after officials switched the city's water supply to the Flint River. Tests revealed the switch was corroding the city's aging lead pipes, exposing residents to dangerous levels of lead. Lead exposure has been linked to developmental delays in kids, speech and behavioral issues, even brain damage. The people who decided to stay in Flint were left without clean water for years, suffering from health issues ranging from seizures to Legionnaire's disease, a severe type of pneumonia caused by drinking contaminated water.
We're American citizens, and we should not have to live like this. Our kids and our families have been poisoned.
They said the water, you can bathe and shower in tonight. That is a lie. That is a lie. My eyes are burning. I'm still infected by this stuff.
The EPA's announcement comes after years of construction and renovation. Flint was forced to replace thousands of pipes as part of a landmark settlement. Now to a story that might teach us how to think like AI as opposed to just having AI think for us. A big update for ChatGPT. The parent company, OpenAI, wants to make changes for students who choose to use AI with a new feature called Study Mode. This version, which launched this week, won't just give you the answers. It's designed to work with students, getting them to use that brain power of their own and discouraging and or preventing them from taking shortcuts. The bot offers hints, prompts, and asks open-ended questions to get students to come to their own conclusions on any given question. Think your new friendly tutor with an expertise in pretty much every topic under the sun. When a student gets frustrated, which might be inevitable, and wants ChatGPT to just spit out the correct answer, the AI will try to deny. The company says it built Study Mode as, quote, a first step in a longer journey to improve learning in ChatGPT. Pop quiz, hot shot. What was the very first toy to be advertised on TV? Monopoly, Mr. Potato Head, Silly Putty, or Barbie? Answer is Mr. Potato Head, which came out in 1952. When it first launched, you had to supply your own potato. In 1960, Hasbro began including a plastic potato for all those silly facial expressions. It is hard to believe the holidays are just 5 months away, but toy manufacturers like Hasbro are already sounding the alarm that their prices could be much steeper by then. Why? CEOs say 30% tariff or tax on China and 20% tariff on Vietnam will impact their main toy suppliers. The trickle-down of those rising expenses can hit small businesses especially hard. CNN's Maya Blackstone takes us inside one beloved toy shop in New York City, which is having to close its doors this month.
It was utter chaos, frustration, fear, and to be honest with you, real anger.
Jennifer Bergman is closing her toy store, Westside Kids, in New York City after nearly 44 years in business.
The tariffs and the uncertainty around that whole debacle really was the nail in the coffin. It wore me out, and I looked at my numbers in May and June. I was like, I'm done. I can't do it. I cannot pay my bills.
When President Donald Trump took office, he promised sweeping tariffs on items shipped to the U.S. In April and July, he rolled out specifics, and many took effect this summer.
I think the tariffs are going to be the greatest thing we've ever done as a country. It's going to make our country rich again.
Could you talk about the impact that tariffs have had on your store over the last few months?
It really freaked people out. I was getting emails and phone calls from vendors left and right saying, we're not bringing anything in until this is over. We can't promise that you're going to have stuff on your shelves. My scooter vendor in April, which is scooter season, called me up and said, we're rerouting two containers to Canada. until this blows over. So my scooters are literally $30 more than they were in February. And that's a lot of money. Scooters are not that expensive. I can't eat it. I have to pass that on. I don't have those kinds of margins. The uncertainty makes it almost impossible to plan. You know, a lot of vendors wanted you to place orders before the tariffs went up. We didn't have the money. None of us have that money right now. Prices going up means I can buy less. It doesn't mean that I make more money. It's not the manufacturer that pays for the tariff. Tariffs are paid for by the American people.
The toy market is particularly volatile because many toys are manufactured overseas.
What percent of toys are American made? They're very, very few and far between. The toys from us are well over 90% are made in China. What do you say to somebody who says, well, it's better to only buy toys that are made in America? I have some, but they just languish on the shelf. I would love to have my store full of these beautiful handmade toys made in America. But first of all, they're very expensive and it's not really what my customers want. And most of them can't afford it. People want Jenga. They want Connect Four. They want Lego. I think that there's a fallacy where people think that everything that's made in China is junk. They don't understand that some of the really good quality, really beautiful toys that they have on their shelves are made in China also.
The Trump administration believes that tariffs will protect American industries, reduce the trade deficit, combat unfair trade practices, and address national security concerns.
Yeah, let's look at a game. This is Sequence. We sell a lot of them. It's very popular. Made in China. Prices don't go up that much in the toy industry. I have toys that have been sitting on my shelves for 20 years that have maybe gone up $2.
Did you ever think that you were going to become an economist?
No.
Thinking about tariffs?
No, I don't think anyone I know thinks that I would ever be an economist.
For CNN 10, Maya Blackstone, New York.
If you get queasy easily, you might want to turn your head. Scientists are bugging out over a stunning new discovery down under. A team of scientists in Australia say they have discovered a giant new species of giant stick insect, and it could be the heaviest bug ever recorded in the country. The massive creepy crawler, dubbed Acrophylla alta, was discovered in the mountainous rainforests of northeastern Australia. Scientists say its distinct eggs helped it stick out and allowed them to identify it as a new species. It clocks in at more than 15 inches long and weighs about as much as a golf ball. That's a whole lot of bug. The massive earthquake that rocked the Pacific last week may also be responsible for an explosive encore. That quake, the sixth strongest ever recorded, struck Russia's remote Far East region, triggering tsunami warnings from Japan to San Francisco. And scientists say it's also likely responsible for this, a massive volcano in the same region erupting for the first time in 600 years. The surreal scene looks like something out of a movie, an ash plume nearly 4 miles tall, rising into the sky from the 6,000-foot peak. Officials say that cloud is now headed out to sea, and luckily, there are no populated areas in its path. Today's story, getting a 10 out of 10, a 12-year-old swimmer competing against Olympians. Chinese phenom Yu Zidi made history last week, becoming the youngest ever medalist at the World Aquatics Championships in Singapore. At just 12 years old, she was part of China's 4x200-meter freestyle relay team, which took bronze. Youngest person to medal at a major international competition since 1936. Her times have been so fast, they allowed her to compete at the championships, even though the minimum age requirement had been 14. She started swimming at just 6 years old, just as a way to beat the heat back in her home of Hebei province. But she decided to give competitive swimming a shot when a coach brought it up to her. Swimsational. Time now for our best part of the show, you. And from our glorious new wall of friends, this one goes to Mrs. Ramos at Isbell Junior High in McGregor, Texas. It's not whether you get knocked down, it's whether you get up. Thank you for all the autographs, too. And from our CNN 10 YouTube channel, we have our friends at Our Lady of Assumption School in Beloit, Wisconsin, coming in hot. Thank you for subscribing and showing us some love in the comments section for your shout-out request. Play that Friday music, nod there. Make someone smile. You never know when or how, but you may just be the spark of joy someone needs. Making an awesome weekend, everyone. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.